A reading from Matthew. Then Jesus said to his disciples, this is the right one. Truly I tell you, it will be hard for a rich person to enter the kingdom of heaven. Again, I tell you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God. When the disciples heard this, they were greatly astounded and said, then who can be saved? But Jesus looked at them and said, for mortals it is impossible, but for God all things are possible. Then Peter said in reply, look, we've left everything and followed you. What then will we have? Jesus said to them, truly I tell you, at the renewal of all things, when the Son of Man is seated on the throne of his glory, you who have followed me will also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or children or fields for my name's sake will receive 100-fold and will inherit eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last will be first. We trust in God's promise. There is more than enough. So this is the culmination of our 6 weeks of this generosity project. And you have experienced a number of things in worship over the last 6 weeks. We've mixed it up, and I've mixed you up, I'm sure. Not all of you were as eager as some of you were to be mixed up and pushed around the sanctuary into groups of speaking with individuals you maybe hadn't spoken with before, connecting with people of generations maybe you don't always connect with. But it has been a rich time of engagement. The conversations and the connections being made has been rich. And I think in these last few weeks, we've been able to see each other just a little more clearly, to see each other as a congregation gathered around this value of generosity which we hold. Like we were on that day where we circled up around the sanctuary and all saw each other's faces as we welcomed a new member into the church through baptism and remarked on the breadth of experience that each of you contain. In this work, we see each other and ground each other in the value of generosity. But this work, this generosity project that we've been engaged in, ultimately, it's not ours to do. It's God's project, this generosity. And our part is to play the part that God calls us to. It's difficult sometimes to hear God's call. In our Bible study this week, one of our Bible study members wondered, is God still working in the world? Maybe God just set everything up, created the matter and the rules of physics, and then went bang, and everything else is just sort of bounced around in chaos, bringing us to where we are today. Is God still at work in all of the chaos we see in the world? Is God still at work in wartime, in culture war time, in a world where hunger and illness are still rampant, a world where there is such inequality, is God still at work? It's less a question of is God still at work and more a question of how. And why and what for? As we have seen through our readings these last number of weeks, the work of God was still alive and active throughout the scriptures, throughout these communities of faith, from the beginning words of creation up into the people living out what it means to be followers of Jesus after Jesus has died and risen. And in this work, we continue. The scriptures tell a story of the people then, but our lives, our conversations tell our story of the people now. And as we tell this story, as we seek out what is our purpose in this work, what is our purpose in our lives, I'm brought to the words of Jürgen Moltmann, one of my favorite theologians, who writes, "It's all for nothing. It's all for nothing, this work of the world, this creation. It's all for nothing, the work of God." But what does he mean? He goes on to say, well, it's all for nothing, just like when you go outside and play a game with your kids. It's not for any grand purpose. It's not for much. It's just for fun. Sometimes we do things just for fun. It's not for something in a utilitarian point of view. It's not producing anything other than maybe a smile and a laugh. It's all for fun. That's the kind of nothing that it is for. It's all for fun. It's all for the joy of God. A joy that ultimately is everything. And yet can seem so little in times of great need. But this is not a joy that is this ephemeral happiness. It's not just trying to put a smile on a face in a world that is hard. This joy for which God is working, this joy and fun for which God is resounding out into the world and calling each of us to follow, this joy is the work of love. And it's the love and the joy that spends the night weeping through the worst of things, and then in the morning brings a bright new dawn. This is a joy that resounds when just one lost sinner repents or is found and is brought back to community. This is a joy that gives itself to the world in flesh in Jesus Christ, then who gives himself even more fully to the world. And what for? Well, for nothing. It's all for nothing. You didn't have to do anything to deserve it. The gift of Jesus was for nothing. You didn't pay the price. Jesus did. And God's generous love in Christ, this gift of grace, is an undeserved, unpaid for gift. There was nothing we ever did to deserve it. The people in our scriptures know the freedom that God has given this grace in, this gift. The people in the first stories of creation who, even though they kept messing up, God kept showing up and helping them along. When they had fashioned clothes out of itchy ivy leaves, God came and said, no, let's dress you in something warm and comfortable, and let's put fur on your body, skins of animals. Let's see here, we're going to give this gift for nothing. The people didn't deserve anything in those early stories. They didn't do anything worth deserving. They had done a lot deserving a lot worse, and God still shows up and cares. The people coming to hear Jesus there on the mountain when he was out in the desert place, they had come and they had no food with them, and yet day was getting on and they were hungry and maybe starting to worry and wonder about where is our meal going to come from. And then suddenly Jesus is setting them down on the grass and they are being passed food. and it's satisfying their stomachs, and it's satisfying their hearts, because this is food that is received when they did nothing but show up and be hungry. It was for nothing. The people in Macedonia, as Paul comes sharing his word, they know that this gift of God's grace to them frees them. Not only is it for nothing, but then in return they can give generously for no reason other than the joy of giving. And even when there's reasons stacked against them, even when their poverty or their affliction would tell them, no, this isn't the time to share resources, they know the difference. And they share anyway, giving anyway, even when they had no reason. The people in the church of Acts sharing things in common in church and at home, sharing together for no reason other than the fun and the joy of being generous together. And our disciples who think so highly of themselves, and yet when push comes to shove, yes, they've left houses and jobs and brothers and sisters and fathers and mothers to follow Jesus. And then in that night when Pilate sends out forces and the chief priest sends out forces and Judas comes in a kiss of betrayal, the disciples all disperse. And in fear, gathering together, after the death of Jesus, Jesus shows up for nothing. They had left him and he comes back. Our God is a generous God who is generous for no good reason other than it's so fun to be generous. It's so fun to create something and give it away to someone who isn't expecting it. It's so fun to find something created and to be able to share it with somebody else. It's so fun and brings such joy, this work of generosity that we are now invited into. Our God is a generous God. We've been proclaiming at the end of each of our worship services. Our God is a generous God whose project is generous and gracious joy and love. Joy and love that needs no antecedent, that needs no price to be paid beforehand, but is just generously, joyously loving. And we are generous too, we've been proclaiming. When we live into the likeness of God in which we've been made, God's project of generosity and joy inches closer to fulfillment as we share in the joy of giving. So let this generosity project that is been our conversation here these last few weeks as a church, let this generosity project end with our work of generosity. Let us give. Let us give to each other. Not because the other person deserves it, but just because it's joy in giving. We give not for anything, only for the joy of God. Amen.